Well, good morning, everyone. Anybody not get a program? There should be some around. Probably have some of David Guzik's comments in the program today because the Lord makes it so easy. Just go to Guzik and you get all the answers, you know. Thank you, David. Thank you, Lord. Everybody get some notes. I want to call your attention to the hymn at the top on the first page, Jesus Paid It All, because we're going to sing that together as we begin this morning. And we're going to look at the longest prayer in the Bible that we have recorded from Jesus. We'll only look at five verses today where he's praying for himself. And it's so important for us to... Is there anyone you want to know more how they prayed and Jesus prayed? And he's praying for himself, which is also a great thing for us to focus on, because how do we pray for ourselves? Really central to his prayer for himself is to glorify the Father. Is that like yours? Is that like mine? Or is yours like mine? Give me, give me, give me, give me. It's all about me. And I think at a missions conference particularly, we spend a lot of time on looking what all the Lord is doing throughout the world, and that is awesome. It's so exciting. It's so good. But it's an awful lot, in a way, about what man is doing. And I'd just like to call your attention a little bit this morning to what God has done. And it's all about him. It's not about us. It's not about really where we go or what we do with our own lives so much as it is about, according to this prayer, glorifying him, right? So we want to bring glory to him. And we bring glory to him by witnessing. We bring glory to him by testifying. We bring glory to him by being a living sacrifice, because that's what we're to do. He told us to what? Love him above all else and to love one another. That's a barometer. How much do we love one another? Because that's really the Christ-like barometer, isn't it? So as we get into the prayer this morning, let's just open up our hearts to him. I think worship, prayer is part of worship, I think, and part of prayer should be lifting our voices in song to the Lord. And let's open with prayer and then sing this song, Jesus Paid It All. So the notes are on the sheet. Anybody not have the sheet yet? Everybody got one? Okay. Father, we thank you that we can gather in your name, Lord, and we thank you for your written word that you put in our hands that we can refer to over and over. We thank you that in this nation we've been so blessed with many Bibles. Most of us have numerous Bibles, different translations and so forth, and so much material, Lord, but so much of the world doesn't even have one page of your word. And so, Lord, help us to pray and help us to be in your word, to be hearing from you as you speak to each one of us. And how could any of us say, I don't really know what God's will for my life is, when we've got 1,189 chapters in front of us in our own hands of what you tell us and what you've told man from the beginning. So, Lord, guide us in this morning as we look at how you prayed, Lord Jesus, to the Father in this recorded prayer in the Gospel of John. Hear our cry now as we first lift our voices in song to you, and then as we will later pray to you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Jesus paid it all.
Jesus, please.
There's over 100 prayers in the Bible, and it's always good to consider the context of each one. And on the last night, before Jesus was arrested and crucified the next day, you know the Gospel of John very well, I'm sure, that he brought the disciples together. They were in the Garden of Gethsemane. They didn't start there. They started in the upper room. But in chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16, he is giving him these last unbelievable comments. In chapter 16, they have now gotten to the garden, I believe. In chapter 16, he ends that chapter. Of course, there's no chapter breaks or verses in the original. It just is one continuous, but we have it indexed for us. But ending in what we call chapter 16, verse 32, indeed the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then we move right into chapter 17, and we again, Jesus spoke these words, and I think that's a continuation of what we just read. He had spoken these words in John 13 through 16. And now, what does he do? He lifts his eyes toward heaven. Kind of an interesting physical position in prayer. Most of the prayers we read of kneeling or maybe raising hands, all good positions, but Jesus merely lifts his eyes to heaven, is what we're told here. And to me, that speaks of the position of the heart is really what's important, not the position of your body. I remember the story that I heard Pastor Chuck tell about the strongest prayer. People were saying, what's the strongest position in prayer? And there was a telephone linesman who said, well, the strongest position is when you're dangling upside down, held by the ankle by a telephone wire. But I think we want to pray with the right heart, right? And so here is the beginning words, Father, Father, Father. Now, this is a good example for us as well because, you know, in Hebrews 7:25, we read what at the end of that verse? He ever lives to make intercession for us. So have you ever wondered if Jesus is praying for you all the time, what does he pray? Well, we get some insight here into how he prays. And those of you who will be here tomorrow, we'll look at briefly the center section on the disciples and then focus mostly on the last seven, eight verses there, which he's praying for us, because it says the future believers who will believe in their word, the disciples' words, and that's us. So we'll see what he's praying for us tomorrow specifically. But today, we're looking at how he prays for himself. And so he says, Father, the hour has come. Notice an hour is very important. Sometimes we think that an hour is nothing or whatever, but this is a time marker in a way with what Jesus had come to the earth to do, and he's saying the hour has come. His work on the earth is done. And he's speaking even in past tense here, although he hasn't actually gone to the cross yet, but he will speak in this prayer of that he has glorified the Father already, and that will be culminated in our time frame on the cross, and then in, of course, the resurrection as well, and then the ascension. But Father, the hour has come. Now, his very first request is what? Give me strength to get through what's ahead. No. Look at me. No. It says glorify. Glorify your son. Glorify me. Why? That. The that's are very important in these prayers because the that's are always the resultant of what we're talking about here. But glorify your son that, 24 times in this prayer is the word that, your son may also, what? Glorify you. So do you ever pray that? Have you ever prayed that? Father, glorify me that I may glorify you. I don't think I ever have. I mean, well, I've gone over this before, so I said it before, but I still don't do it, so maybe I better read it again. Glorify your son that your son may also glorify you as, and now there's another comparable or like a simile, as you have given him authority over all flesh. So here we have Jesus confirming that he has been given authority over all flesh except the world corrupt leaders. Is that what it says? No, it says over all flesh. All flesh. He has authority over all flesh. It says he has given him authority over all flesh. And again, that. Why? That he should give eternal life. Wow. A biggie here. That he should give eternal life to everyone? Well, that's not what it says, really. I mean, his atonement is full for everyone who comes to the Lord. We know that. But here it says that you should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. We often think of Jesus giving to the Father, but there's a lot in this prayer about the Father giving to Jesus. And so oftentimes I think of Jesus as the whole thing, as the whole center, and he is, he's God. But also the love of the Father is so incomprehensible that we see things like this, it causes us to think a little bit. Jesus is saying that I may give eternal life to as many as you have given to me. So if you're saved, which you are, I'm sure, here this morning, the Father has given you to Jesus to be saved. Isn't that something? And when we read in Ephesians, which we'll get to on Friday, that great prayer in Ephesians 1, he chose us what? When? When we were conceived? No. I mean, you're much older than you think. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Now, that's, in my thinking, is old. I mean, I don't know when that was, but it's old. That he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And now we have the definition of eternal life. You want to know what eternal life is? Here's the definition from Jesus himself. And this is eternal life. That, another that. They, that's us, the people, may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now, that word know is a fantastic word there. Gnosko of gnosko is to know by experience, and this is certainly what that word is. But there's another aspect to it, I think, in this context that's even beyond other contexts, and that is the aspect of having a relationship, a relationship, a relationship. I know that this is a chalkboard, but I don't have a relationship with this chalkboard. I know that apparently George Washington was the first president of the United States, but I don't have a relationship with him. And so many things I know, I say I know, but I don't know in this regard of having a relationship. So that we may know God the Father and have this relationship with him. And again, it is an experiential situation, which means it grows, right? What's your relationship initially is when you receive salvation, right? When you receive the Lord. That's your first kind of level of knowing him. And then as you know him, as you go through life, it's what we call it sanctification, or becoming closer to him, and we know him more. And then finally, when we see him face to face, we'll be completely knowing him. That'll be what? Glorification, we call it. So it's that process of knowing, at least in my opinion, is what we have here. That you may know him, the only true God. Not one out of a list of 20 or 10 or 5 or 2, but the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So how well do you know the Father? How well do you know the Son in terms of your relationship with God? And then he has in a past tense verb here, I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Now that again, all of these are so profound, I'm so inadequate, but you have the Bible, you can meditate on them and ask the Lord what it means to you. But one of the things it means to me is, you know, he was here on earth about 33 years, we think, and his ministry began about 30. So his ministry career is certainly not much more than three and a half years, and he finished the work. How about you? How about me? I mean, I've been out of 3/4 of a century. I don't think I've even gotten started yet, really. But I mean, I don't know. He's able to say, I finished the work that you've given me to do. So it's not, well, I've only been out in the mission field for 10 years. Well, great. Well, Jesus was only on the mission field for 3, and he did everything, right? But we're a little different than Jesus too, aren't we? I finished the work which you have given me to do. And may that be my prayer for myself. Lord, help me to finish the work that you have for me, maybe just this hour, maybe just this day, and going through this day. Lord, what would you have me to do today? And help me to walk through the open doors that you have for me. Help me to be a living sacrifice, which we are taught to do, told to do. And now, Father, glorify me together with yourself. So that's his final statement here for himself, is that he would glorify the Father. And so I would pray that that would be our prayer as well, that we would glorify the Father, we would glorify the Son. They're fully equivalent, they're God. We would glorify them. And the standard here is with the glory which I had with you before the world was. There's so much about his glory in this prayer, and doxa, the heaviness, the kabod, the brilliance and the glory is a term that I can't even understand how you glorify and so forth. But we can get a little bit of the idea. We bring glory to him. Now, to show you just a glimpse, shooting ahead to verse 24, when he's praying for us, the future believers, which we are, you see his heart all through here for love for us, but I'll just read this verse, you know it well. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me, and that's us, the believers, today and all time, but today as well. What? Number one, may be with me where I am. So if we get the idea, oh, Lord, don't take me home. I want to be here. I want to be here. I want to see my grandchild graduate from high school or whatever. Or I want to put in my 27, 8 years or whatever it is. Don't take me home yet. Well, that may, if he's putting that in your heart, that's okay. But generally speaking, he wants you with him. Where is he? Is he on earth now? He's in heaven. So when he calls us, we ought to say, wow, yes, I'm ready. I want to be with you. Not ahead of your schedule, but on schedule. And he says, that they may be with me where I am. Why? That they may behold my glory. Can you imagine that the Lord wants you, that he wants me with him to behold his glory? That's what it says. That they may behold my glory. What glory? Which you have given me for what you loved me before the foundation of the world. What love there is there? How much love do you have for the Father? How much love do you have for Jesus? And when we think about things like these prayers, it just, his love is so awesome and so great for us. How could we waste a minute without telling somebody about how much he loves them, right? Because we're all saved. We've, in a sense, got it made because of what he's done for us, because of the gift of grace. But the whole world is full out there that people don't know, right? They don't know. They don't know. So show somebody today your love. Start right here in this room is okay, too. But we're going to pray now. We're going to pray as a group for, like we did yesterday, for a time. And then near the end, we'll break into small groups. Everybody can pray at once. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this awesome prayer in the Bible, all the prayers in the Bible for the Bible. Lord, I thank you for brothers and sisters who are here this morning to pray. They came to pray. And so, Lord, as we are led by your Spirit, may we totally be in one accord as you would prompt us to pray. And Lord, may we just keep our mouths shut until you build that up inside of us where we just can't keep it in anymore and we just got to pray it out. We know that is of you and we want to be praying as led by you. So lead us and guide us now in these moments together to pray to you as we should. In Jesus' name.